Welcome to From Bolden, episode 4.
I'm Stephanie Graff.
I'm Kirsten Pope, and today we have another great guest star with us. You can introduce yourself. I'll give you that privilege.
Oh, thank you. I'm Kat Yamano.
Yay, and she is a wonderful feminist who has agreed to talk with us today to make it a little more interesting. Not that we're bland by ourselves.
We're excellent, but I mean, as in all topics, we are not the experts on every topic, although we personally believe we are. So we are bringing in Kat. Today, our episode is on body issues as they affect women, just a general, a lot of issues. Well, actually, this will be a two-part episode. So Kat is here to provide her expertise on that.
Yay.
Yay.
Do you mind, like, giving a little, like, your spiel of yourself so people can feel connected to you as a person?
Okay, well, I am a student here at BYU. I started here in the spring. I'm from Boston. I'm 25. And after high school, I went to a conservatory for musical theater and then went back to Boston. Also lived in Georgia for a little while as a ballroom teacher, so I'm a lifelong dancer and performer. So, and now I'm here at BYU on the ballroom team, so in a nutshell.
All right, so as we mentioned, the topic today is body image and more broadly body issues. But to introduce that topic as a lead-in, as I usually do in preparing for these episodes, I was, you know, wandering around on the internet, as one does. And I was researching the body positivity movement. And so I typed into Google, body positivity is, and I was going to finish my sentence. But then the first thing that pulled up on the little, like, suggested bar was body positivity is BS, although it was spelled out. But I won't, you know, taint the ears of our listeners. And so I was intrigued, and so I clicked on it, and what I stumbled upon was this website called Masculinity Rising.
Masculinity Rising.
Masculinity Rising.
Sounds like the beginning of time, actually, what you could call the beginning of time till now. Really great blog. Well written. Would really recommend all of our listeners.
I could definitely see it as the 2017 Pulitzer winner.
Yeah, so we're going to read you just a little bit of one of our favorite
revolutionary
posts.
Really new stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so this is just a sample of his article on body positivity. Okay. Brace yourself. Healthy at any size is BS. And I'm going to just censor this briefly. You can be beautiful if you put down the effing food. It's that simple. We should be encouraging.
What?
I know. Little did we know that the center of wisdom and knowledge. I know. Wise. We should be encouraging these obese girls to feel confident and attractive in their own body for self-esteem issues. But we should also be encouraging them to make the proper diet and exercise choices to bring their weight back down to an acceptable range. This body positivity movement claims you can be healthy any size, but I can call BS. That's a complete farce built on top of the already faulty body mass index. And then he, like, talks about how he's the authority on BMI and how that's not okay. Also, just if you're interested, you can also buy protein powder from him on his website. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything bad with that.
Let me get right on that.
Yeah.
I really want to support this human.
Support this person.
Right, right. And so the real piece de resistance was this line, which said, personally, I am not attracted to skeleton girls or land whales.
I mean, just me. I mean, some people might be attracted to land whales or skeletons.
I mean, if you're into land whales, that's fine.
But I mean, personally, like, I'm not. But obviously.
But not even those skeleton girls. I mean, I'm, like, across the board.
He's very, very, that's very PC of him. Like, right. Not only am I disgusted by land whales, I'm also disgusted by skeleton girls.
It's nuanced. It's very nuanced.
Very nuanced. It's very. Really touches on that.
Anyway, we could spend a whole hour, like, making jokes about this guy.
Really, though. But what we want to get to at the heart of it is that with body issues, and specifically weight, body image, it's really hard for girls to win. That right now here they're being shamed for being too fat, and they're being shamed for being too skinny. And, I mean, I think one of the biggest flaws in his argument is, you know, put down the food and you'll be skinny. But as anyone who walks outside their front door will tell you, everyone's body is vastly different. Like, I have a friend that runs marathons. She's run a lot of marathons, but I wouldn't describe her as fat, but she's not a thin person. She's just not.
She's not the stereotypical social
skinny.
Yes.
But she's extremely healthy. She's way more healthy than I ever will be. But you wouldn't look at her and think she's really thin. But she still is expected to conform to these pressures.
Mm-hmm. In your career, Kat, have you ever felt or like seen that mold where you like can't win? Have you seen that in your
yeah,
career?
I mean, as like a dancer and even in musical theater, I've heard stories about, you know, friends who have like gone on tours or done cruises and things like that. And they, I remember one of my friends, she told me that they actually would weigh them weekly.
Oh my gosh.
And like, part of me gets it because costumes are very expensive and whatnot, but like true. To weigh people every week is
no, only Weight like, Watchers has a license to do that.
Right. So yeah, when it comes to costuming and stuff, it's like you hear horrible things said from costumers and directors and things like that about this, you know, standard that these performers have to fit into. And I mean, like you were saying before, even if you're healthy, you're not necessarily like a size 0 or 2. So yeah, it definitely puts the pressure on when you're being scrutinized, not only for your performing, but the way that you look as well. So.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of being weighed every week, growing up, I was like, I wouldn't go so far to say die hard, but I was a pretty religious watcher of The Biggest Loser. I found entertainment in that, which now I feel shame for finding entertainment in that. But I was just, it's interesting now to reflect and understand how much that their body, their weight, the number that was blasted on the screen that millions of people watched every week was so integral. Was so vitally tied to I can't with that adjective, was so tied to their self-worth. And I think that's where the problems come in, because probably the biggest problem I had with this guy besides, I mean, there's so many things, but is that he was making this assumption that we are the way we are, or I'm feeling some way about my body because so I can be attractive to him.
Mm-hmm. When like, I don't care what you think about my
body. And he was saying like, you know what, just, you know, put down the effing food and I'll love you. That's basically the message that I got. Not that I want him to love me, but.
Well, that's what it all comes down to, is pleasing someone else about being happy with yourself. It's okay, yeah. How are other people going to take, you know, the way I look and how much I weigh and all that? And it's BS, as he put it.
It is. Yeah, that's BS.
Yes, that is very much BS.
So I think right now we're at like a really good point, you know, in our society's history, of people are starting to recognize these problems, saying, you know, there mm-hmm. is a lot of pressure on women and their bodies, which has resulted in the rise of quote-unquote body positivity.
Mm-hmm. It's all over Instagram.
Yeah. Or just look at a Dove commercials.
Oh, my gosh, the Dove commercials.
Yeah. So while I wouldn't say body positivity is BS, I actually disagree with a lot of parts of it.
Hmm.
Because...
Elaborate.
So you watch a Dove commercial, and I remember the first time I saw one, I'm like, that is so, wow. They just have, like, all these heavier women, like, women of color, like, in their bras and underwear.
You're, like, feeling the spirit as you're watching it.
Yeah, accept their bodies. But then, like, as I got older, I was like, wait, but, like, they're still on TV in bras and underwear. Like, they're still mm-hmm. being defined by their bodies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you would never see a commercial of just a bunch of men in their underwear, like, fat men being like, accept me. Because, like... Nobody cares. Like, right. Nobody cares about, like, really a fat man's body. Like, and so I think rather than body positivity, I think even a step above that, when we as a society evolve a little bit beyond that, it'll be more holistic positivity, that you're not mm-hmm. defined by your body.
Mm-hmm.
You as a holistic person are good and okay and acceptable, like, including your body, but not just defined by your body. I think... body positivity is a little BS. Well, although I do agree that everyone should love their body, I think that the emphasis on right. women's bodies is really where the problem is.
Right. I mean, there's always the caveat of, like, of health and, like, mm-hmm. the importance of health. I mean, because obviously, I don't think anybody would see, like, a 300, 400-pound person and say you're fine. Like,
you're
you
just
don't.
Yeah. Big bones.
You're just... Oh my gosh.
Right. There's definitely a difference between like loving yourself for who you are, but also, like, there is that extreme of, right. You do want to be healthy. And
yeah, and I think that's what masks, I mean, deep down, I think that was the altruistic motive behind really? Masculinity Rising's blog post, was that he, and that's probably why he went into this huge spiel about BMI, is that he understood the tie between, I'm not going to use the word integral again, the tie between health and weight. But the problem is we've made it such a social issue mm-hmm. because that health problem is so visible. I mean, if internally my arteries are clogged with plaque, which, I mean, they probably are considering how much Dr. Pepper I drink, but nobody can see that. Like, that's still as much of a health problem as being obese, but nobody can see that, so nobody cares as much. Or nobody's, I'll say it this way, nobody won't make it their problem as much.
Right.
But with weight, the problem is that there's this external manifestation of this health problem. And so people feel this need to, like, oh, well, we can't condone an unhealthy lifestyle. And by being body positive, somehow that's condoning that. And so there's you see this fine line.
Exactly. Where, like, my response to most things is none your business, because it's not my favorite radio show. This is a total tangent. My favorite radio show in the mornings, like, as I'm, like, driving to school or work.
You listen to morning radio?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They do, only when I'm in the car. Only when I'm in the car. But they do this segment called None Your Business.
Really?
And they have, like, a little, like, recorded button that's like, None Your Business! And people will call in. And, like,
right next to the fart sound.
And yeah. And so people will call in and say inappropriate things that people, like, ask them. Like, yeah, this week the man asked me if my two children have the same father because they look so different. And then the host will, like, push the button and be like, none your business. And this does tie back to weight. I mean, okay. Weight and, like,
I'm
pretty much.
That I'm not being entertained right now.
Pretty much every issue we have talked about or will talk about, that is what goes through my head. At least 10 times a day.
Seriously. Like, I could, like, put together a collection of all the things that either people have, like, made comments about or asked me about, like, that have to do with my appearance or my body. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. None your business.
I know, we need to get ourselves.
I was
going to
say, I should call them and be like, so where'd you buy it? Yeah. Like, can we get one of those for our studio?
Can I just download this on my phone so I can just.
I think another interesting caveat, I mean, we kind of touched on this already, is physical appearance in relationships. And this is kind of like drawing on what we talked about last episode. But how important is that? Because I think we all try to pretend that, oh, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I love them.
Okay.
Like.
Here's my stance on this.
Tell us.
Because
learn us some knowledge.
Because there's always that argument of, like, you know, looks don't matter and blah, 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 and, you know, don't judge a book by its cover and outward appearance, all that. Which, yes, but at the same time, I think there's a difference because there needs to be a physical attraction to someone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they don't have to be, like, amazing, like, six-pack, buff, like. There's a difference between having.
They don't,
like,
need to be a skeleton person.
Right, or a skeleton.
Or a land whale.
Or, I mean, you know.
Okay, that's a digression.
Whatever floats your boat.
Sorry, so good.
I am a strong believer that there should be a physical attraction. Like, that shouldn't. Yeah. But that shouldn't be everything. It shouldn't be this person is gorgeous and that's all I care about, or, like, you know, this girl's body, whatever. But I do believe that there should be some physical attraction, because that's just human nature. Because
even me personally, this kind of tugs at my feminist contradiction, because, I mean, this is really vulnerable for me to say, but I probably would agree with Masculinity Rising and say that I personally don't find land whales super attractive, which is something I need to change about myself. Because there's this cognitive dissonance where I am totally for holistic positivity, as we were talking about. Like, I totally believe people shouldn't be judged by their appearance. But at the same time, I will engage in actively judging people by their appearance when I'm looking for someone to date. So how can we reconcile?
Well, there's a difference. There's a difference between judging a person that just, like, passes you by, judging them based off their appearance, and choosing someone to date.
Because of a physical trait.
Because of a physical attraction. You can't change it if you're not attracted to someone.
Well, that's what I was about to say, is it's one thing if you criticize someone or judge someone because maybe they are slightly overweight and then maybe choosing to not date them because of that. Because I think everyone does have, like, their preferences as far as what they're attracted to, and I don't think you really have any control over that. But I feel like there is what you were saying before. There is that difference between, like, judging someone and criticizing someone and maybe leaving someone out of something because of their physical appearance, as opposed to you're just naturally...
I'm not attracted to you.
Right. I mean, it's like anything else. You know, if you're picking out clothes, you, you know, have a specific type that you like, and it's not... That's just the way that you are. Mm-hmm. So...
I think...
But do you see how I would have that contradiction where I'm kind of like living in these two worldviews at the same time?
Yeah, because it's like if I'm not attracted to someone, it's not that I think they're bad or I think they're ugly or I think it just – I don't know why. I just am not attracted to you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of an amoral thing, whereas I think judging people for their appearance just objectively is immoral. And I mean, that's like the difference in my mind. But as far as...
So the idea that, like, physical appearance is independent of worth, I think, is what resolves that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is, okay. Because in both situations, if you're not judging somebody for their physical appearance, whatever it may be, and then not being attracted to someone, if you still maintain that appreciation for their worth, regardless of what they look like, that's still...
Yeah. Like, they're still
a good...
Okay, that's how
you can reconcile those two.
Normal person.
Right.
But I remember one time... And this is kind of a follow-up, not necessarily being attracted to someone, but what if when you're in a relationship with someone, like how appearance plays a role in that? My perspective on this changed a little bit, if you don't mind me digressing and sharing personal experience. So this guy that I was dating, I'll change details to protect the not-so-innocent, but he...
A good alias.
Yeah, so we were at Cafe Rio one night, we're dating, and I am going to town on a smothered pork burrito.
As one does. As one freaking does.
Yeah. And, like, I don't take leftovers from Cafe Rio. Never have, never will.
It's like a personal achievement.
No, really, though. I take that burrito
to
pound
town. To, like, see the bottom of the aluminum pan.
And, like, I don't have a problem with it. So we're sitting there at Cafe Rio, and he was going on this rant about... I'll have to say it. He was on the BYU track team. So he was going on this rant about how the women's track team or cross country, whatever, how they were not skinny enough that year. And so he's just going on and on and on. And he's like, well, obviously no one can tell them that they're not skinny enough, but they could really up their times if they would just like slim it down a little bit. And like, if you've ever seen the BYU cross country team or any cross country team.
Yeah, I worked with someone who was on the cross country team and she was tiny.
They're not like heavy people.
Tiny. Yeah.
They're what Masculinity Rising would describe as a skeleton.
A skeleton girl.
So, but he's just talking about how these like skeleton girls aren't skinny enough. And he's like, but we can't tell them that because, you know, like eating disorders and stuff. And he just like will not shut up about it. As he's there at Cafe Rio with his very average sized girlfriend who's going to Pound Town with a pork burrito. And I'm sitting there just staring at him like, I don't know if you're just completely unaware right now, if you're trying to send me like subtle signals. But the point of this whole story is that that changed my perspective of, oh, I'm very comfortable with my own body. And like I always have been, I've never been super uncomfortable with my body. But it made it apparent to me that, oh, like other people have different perspectives on my body. And like I consider myself healthy and normal and comfortable with myself. But I'm like, oh, is he fine with this? Or is he trying to send me like passive messages?
Yeah, because even though he wasn't directly talking to about you.
He was saying like these 90-pound girls need to lose some weight.
Right.
Maybe it was just me being sensitive, but the thing it woke me up to is like, oh, just because I choose to be comfortable with myself doesn't mean that other people are necessarily comfortable with me, which I think can really send you down a black hole. And
oh,
so I just kind of avoid that.
I would say I've dealt with that very much so.
Mm-hmm. And I think not just weight, but I think just general appearance, like your makeup and how much you put yourself together, being quote unquote high maintenance, what other people think is an acceptable level for that. Because I think guys do. I've heard guys say that a ton. Oh, she's so high maintenance. She takes so long to get ready. She's
right.
So...
I've heard so many things, especially with all like the makeup tutorials and things out on YouTube. Like, girls have been stepping up their makeup game lately, like, to, like, unbelievable levels. And, like, good for them. At this point, it's, like, an art. But now there's all this criticism going around saying that girls are wearing too much makeup and they're spending too much money on makeup and, you know, it's just going to an extreme. And my favorite, false advertising.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like, you almost can't win. It's like, if you
don't... I saw a tweet about that and someone's like, like, don't tell us it's false advertising. Do you really believe... Do you really think I have gold eyelids?
Yeah. Like, you're the one stupid enough to think that I have
gold eyelids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was you who
showed me that. And we're not a product that we're advertising. It's like...
Oh, that's good.
But there's that constant, because I've had experiences where I either, like, didn't feel that great or just didn't feel like putting on makeup, and I, like, walk in somewhere and people are like, oh, are you tired? Oh, are you sick? Are you okay? But then you have the other, you know, end of the spectrum where, oh, you're wearing too much makeup. Oh, you're high maintenance. And it's like, what?
What do you want from me?
How, like,
I mean, I want to hit the none of your business button. I think the thing that I found so frustrating, just being this age and, like, you know, being single in this culture, if there are any listeners that want to contradict this, feel free. But the message that I feel like I keep getting is like, well, men want a girl who's healthy and skinny, but she can still pound a cheeseburger. And they want a girl who, like, has a really pretty face and looks beautiful all the time, but it's natural. Like, she looks, like, as pretty as if she's wearing makeup, but, like, she doesn't have to wear makeup. Which, viewers or listeners, is what we call white unicorn. There may be one in... you know, the universe, but she sure as heck would not date you. But I feel like everyone is held to that level, to that standard, that it's just, you can't win.
Right. For the sake of gender equality, though, we can't talk about this issue in a vacuum and say that it's only women affected.
Oh, of course.
Today I was driving home and I was, you know, driving up our hill, and some guy was driving down the hill, and he had this gray, I don't know what the make of the car was, but he had huge sunglasses on, and he had a huge, like, back rear spoiler, and, like, I could tell he was, like, pumping the bass, and the gut reaction, like, immediate reflex thought that I had was, like, he must be compensating for something. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that's horrible of me to say, especially since I'm going on a feminist podcast today.
Someone's overcompensating.
Because I was like, oh my gosh, that's horrible of me to think, and, like, especially because I don't even know who this person was, because I couldn't see his face because of the sunglasses. But I mean, I'm sure if somebody looked in my makeup drawer and saw how many palettes of eyeshadow I have, that they could think the same thing, that I must be compensating for something underneath the layers and layers of makeup. So I think for the sake of gender equality, as we recognize this disparity, we have to be willing to give up those stereotypes. And It was like a knee-jerk reaction, and I mean, I feel okay about it now because I, like, caught myself and was able to, like, realize the gender stereotyping I was making. But I think it does affect men very much so, but as we resolve the issue affecting women, it will hopefully resolve with men as well. Just this underlying idea that who you are is not defined by what you look like. I don't know if that's the best way to say that, because, I mean, it is a form of self-expression, how you look. But I guess your intrinsic worth isn't defined by extrinsic factors.
Yeah, which hopefully is at the root of, like, this holistic positivity, which, again, is a very nuanced thing. I think the issue of paternalistic praise is where people really try, where men
try to
really
resolve,
try
to resolve this problem, but totally fail.
Epically fail.
Say something.
Well, I was just about to say, with the whole, like, high maintenance, you know, wearing too much makeup thing, the thing that bothers me with all that is, you know, with a lot of these makeup tutorials and things like that, it's really, like, upping girls' confidence, and they feel so much better about themselves, and then they get criticized for wearing too much makeup and all these things. And it's like, the thing that men don't realize is, this isn't for you. This is for me.
I'm not trying to look good for you.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. This isn't for
I'm not your object.
Else.
I'm not your pawn. I'm not.
Right.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. This is for me too. Because I know, like, with me, I feel better when I have, like, at least a little bit of makeup on. Like, just the way that I feel about myself when I walk out the door, I feel a little bit better when I, like.
Same. I mean, when I. So much same.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Gotta have my eyebrows on.
But it's not like, you know, I'm putting on my makeup and I'm like, oh, this is for someone. This is, like, to please other people. I'm like, no, this is for me, so I can feel better about myself when I walk out the door.
There's a quote I have on my wall, and it says, like, now, I feel like anytime you're trying to quote something, you can't quote it when you try to recall it, but I'll do my best. He says, it's something like, if you live off the criticism of other people, like, you'll be miserable all the time. That's just summing it up. That was a horrible, like, rendition of that quote.
Verbatim.
I know.
It sounded beautiful.
Thank you, guys. Basically, like, if you live off their compliments, you'll die by their criticism.
Ah.
There we go. That's much better. Got it. Nailed it. Nailed it.
It was really good.
So I think to resolve that, and I feel like I'm at that place right now in my life, is to take yourself out of that ecosystem of, you know, seeking to please people and moving to a place of creativity of yourself.
Yes, I love that.
Creativity of the self.
Creativity of the self.
That's my new book.
Yes. Look it up. Kirsten Pope on shelves next season.
My new book title. I'm working on my novel.
So to kind of wrap up this weight section and just general, actually I would say like this first half is more less weight and more how external forces working on you, like how yourself appears and affects, you know, other people. Whereas, you know, our second half is going to be a lot more about how your appearance, how your body affects you internally.
Mm-hmm.
But just finishing on this topic of paternalistic praise.
And what we mean by paternalistic praise, because I don't think we've totally defined that. I kind of coined that term. I wrote an essay on this a couple weeks ago, and I kind of coined that term for sake of brevity. But that just means anytime a man specifically is, like, praising women, like, telling them you're beautiful or categorically praising them so that they can, you know, for the sake of promoting feminism or promoting equality, like saying, you know, women are so beautiful. Or like classic example of this is sacrament meeting on Mother's Day.
LDS sacrament meeting on Mother's Day.
When they have men, like the high priest group leader speak, and he's just talking about how wonderful mothers are, just categorically, blanketly, just you are all so beautiful and we love you all. And you're
angels on earth.
Right. You're wonderful women and you're just so strong. The danger in that is that feeling, that false sense of accomplishment, that by doing that, they've somehow filled a hole in the hearts of all the women, or somehow, you know, shown that they love women. And so that disproves them as sexist or kind of, you know, washes out any type of sexism that they may have. I listened to this Andy Grammer song a couple of years ago, and this is
Andy
like
Grammer.
stereotypical paternalistic praise. I'm going to read this. I'm not going to sing it.
Do you want to sing it?
Yeah, ready?
Do you want a beat?
Drop me a beat, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this is Andy Grammer, and I can't remember what the song's called, but doesn't matter. You shouldn't listen to it.
If you're listening to Andy Grammer at all, just turn off this podcast now.
I'm repenting for what I did in high school. He says, sing it now, ladies. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. You don't even have to try.
You don't even have to try.
Oh, thank you, backup singer. Oh, ladies, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. More than you could realize. That's just, I mean.
Oh, well, that makes it all better.
Right. To quote Masculinity Rising, that is BS.
Well, I mean, when I think paternalistic praise, because, I mean, don't get us wrong. We love male feminists. Be an actual male feminist, but I think
men like to think
they're feminist, but really fall into this paternalistic praise trap, which, I mean, think of it as more like your grandpa giving you a pat on the head.
Mm-hmm.
There is some level of patronizing condescension in it. Like, you are beautiful. You don't even have to try. And
it just perpetuates the notion that we are theirs, that we belong to them.
That they're praising
their pets.
I'm seeking your praise.
You're a good girl. So you fulfilled your
purpose.
Your role in life. And that's.
But you don't get a cookie.
Yeah.
That'll make you fat.
Right. Good one. Drop the mic. Kat just slayed with that final word.
So with that being said, to preview for our next episode, which is part two of this, we're going to continue on general body issues, but more how these issues affect yourself internally, your psyche. We'll be touching on birth control, public breastfeeding, reactions to mastectomies, vasectomies, things like that.
Yeah, these juicy issues that you've been
waiting for.
Oh,
thank
I know.
You. Thank you.
We're
I don't know what you've been
bit
for. What you've been feeling about these issues.
So stay tuned. This is Femboldin.